Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, and we've been talking about the Penn State spring scrimmage from last Saturday. A lot of news came out of it, even though we didn't get to watch it on TV. And I promise, Dustin, that's my last time complaining about that.
So, why?
Well, it's probably getting a little bit old. So, what is that, the 38th time I've mentioned that in our show so far?
Still, I could listen to it all day.
Doesn't get old, does it?
Nope.
Let's switch to the other side of the ball. That means we're talking defense. And probably the most interesting position, at least for me, has been linebacker. And we've had some intrigue with that. And there were three returning starters from a year ago, but yet it appears, and James Franklin made mention of this a couple weeks ago, that we have not only a new linebacker into the starting lineup, but a shakeup in positions. Let's take a look at that, starting with Curtis Jacobs, who appears to have made his way to the starting team.
Yeah, I mean, they really seem to love what Curtis Jacobs brings to the table in terms of his ability to play the run and his athleticism and his ability to play in space and, you know, even drop into coverage. So he brings different dynamics to that position than you would have gotten or will get with Jesse Luketta, who I thought was kind of a square peg in a round hole at that spot last year, kind of shoved into that position. Good player in his own right. I think he could work really, really well as an inside guy. Works really well. You know, there's not much of a drop off when the situation calls for you to get a little deeper into your linebacker rotation. But Curtis Jacobs looks like the real deal to me. He looks like a player who can kind of do it all. And Penn State is embracing that. You know, well, I think we'll talk about what Brent Pry had to say in a couple of different areas. But one of the areas that he talked about after this game or scrimmage or practice, whatever you want to call it, is that we were unable to see. Thanks for bringing that up. We should spend a little bit of time on that, Jim. He's excited about this he called it a transition, and it is a transition. You know, you got one guy changing positions. You got one veteran player who sure looks like he's going to be a reserve, and that could go for Jesse Luketta or Ellis Brooks. And you've got a kid who's going to still have true freshman eligibility as a player you lean on as a starter. So there is a transition happening at linebacker, and I think it's for the better. You know, I think this group, to me, looks like it's better positioned to play better football at the linebacker spots.
Explain how Curtis Jacobs is taking over the position that Brandon Smith manned last year. Brandon Smith is moving to the other side. What does that mean for Brandon Smith? What does that position change mean?
I think he's going to be asked to play in space less. He's going to be a true blue linebacker who's going to be more of a factor, I think, in the run game. He's going to be able to use that physicality to his advantage more. There's going to be less space for him to defend on that side of the field. So you're going to see him, I think, more involved in more plays. One of the things last year is that, you know, disappear seems to be a strong way to put it, but you didn't hear his name called as often as you would want. And I think it was just, you know, to some extent, maybe some inconsistency from his vantage point, but also, I think, you know, more so is just where he fit in the scheme. He just wasn't around the ball as much as I think he will be next year. To me, that'll be a big difference. You'll ask Curtis Jacobs to play more in space, and you ask Brandon Smith to be a difference maker and a factor on more plays. And I think if that's what the angle is here, I think that's a very good angle.
And you mentioned Brent Pry's comments. He seemed to be pretty happy about that switch.
Yeah, I think he knows, and I think James Franklin knows, the ceiling at the linebacker spot is higher if these two guys are on the field at the same time. Without a doubt, I think these are your two most talented linebackers, probably by a wide margin. So of course you get them in position where I think in both of their cases, their job is a good fit for their skill set as well. In addition to them being such really bright talents at their linebacker spots.
then we shift to the defensive line. If there was one name that we heard a lot this spring, perhaps as much as Kalen King's name, and that is Tar Burton. And the narrative seems to be he's finally healthy. He's making a difference at the defensive end spot. And for what it's worth, he took the initial snaps there at defensive end. So he was the starter. That has to bode well for him.
It has to bode well for him in terms of, you know, backing up the spring hype. We'll see. I have my doubts that Nick Tar Burton is your starting defensive end for week one. And I have my doubts that he's going to be a better player from start to finish next year than Arnold Ibukete. You know, and I think coming out of this game, I think the eye test backs that up too. So maybe it's what he brings on early downs that might be, or maybe he's going to be better defending the run than Ibukete is. But without a doubt, your highest ceiling defensive end pairing is Adisa Isaac on one side and Ibukete on the other. But, you know, there are some shades of gray there, I think, in terms of how Tar Burton might complement the rest of the D linemen, maybe how well he plays the run, maybe how much his experience factors in or how different his skill set might be. But, I mean, I don't think we saw or any reason to doubt the hype with him. I think the coaches are serious. I think he's going to bring some really good things to the table. I just don't think he's going to be your second best defensive end for what that's worth.
But we also have to understand defensive end is different than quarterback where one plays, or running back where you're divvying up the carries and every moment on the field counts. At defensive end, they typically rotate at least four guys. So one could argue essentially that there's four starters at defensive end.
Oh, yeah, and especially the way that Penn State approaches managing those positions. There's a lot to gain by going down your depth chart. You know, obviously within within one game, you're fresher for longer if you're playing more guys, obviously. And then from a bigger picture program standpoint, if you're playing more guys are getting experience, more guys are ready to step up into bigger roles whenever that time comes, because inevitably it comes. And so when you're playing more guys, it just allows more continuity in all kinds of ways. So you're going to see, you know, they're going to go four or maybe even six down the depth chart at defensive end. So, you know, whether you're a starter or not, your job's going to be important if you're in that top four. And Nick Tar Burton certainly in that top four. Arnold Ibukete certainly in that top four. It is a situation, especially, you know, with not much margin between one and two, two and three, and three and four. Whether you're a starter or not doesn't really mean all that much.
And once more, I think it's important to point out, after that free year last year, eligibility-wise, Nick Tar Burton, who seems to have been around the program for years and years and years, is a redshirt sophomore. So he has 3 years
left. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Now, let's take a quick look at defensive tackle. What stood out to me, Akeem Beeman got the start. And again, don't need to read too much into it, except same conversation as defensive end. Multiple guys get to play. But we've been waiting on the last couple recruiting classes, the class of 19 and 20, where we said there's a lot of projects there. These are guys who may take a couple years to develop and get onto the field. But we're waiting for that. Might this be the time, you know, Exhibit A is Akeem Beeman is going to make that breakthrough.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be some other guys who aren't very far behind him at those tackle spots. And to me, what's interesting is PJ Mustipher affords you options. If he's going to play at 326 pounds, he is athletic enough to penetrate and make plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's also big and strong enough now to be the guy who absorbs multiple blockers and keeps the linebackers free. And if he's absorbing multiple blockers, whoever's playing next to him is probably going to be in a one-on-one situation more often than not. And that's a situation where I think people should be excited that Hakeem Beeman can win those matchups. And I think with Beeman, you know, I think Beeman is the second best defensive tackle. You know, that's my opinion on him. But also in situations where you maybe want to go big, you can bump Hakeem Beeman out to defensive end. You have some options at these tackle and end spots now. And I think, you know, with the defensive end depth chart being what it is, those options are pretty valuable for Brent Pry and John Scott Jr. to be able to move guys around if they need to or ask them to do different things. So I think that's an exciting thing. I think Hakeem Beamon better complements PJ Mustipher than probably any other defensive tackle. I expect to him to have a really nice year if he gets the consistent snaps that we expect him to get.
And it will be interesting to see, we talking to Keem Beamon, but the second team defensive line included guys like Smith Vilbert, Kaziah Izzard, Zariah Fisher. This is that next wave. This is those group of names that we talked about in those recruiting classes that they weren't going to necessarily come in as true freshmen their first year on, in the program and be out on the field. The hope was in year two, year three, well, we're getting to that point of year two, year three. So it's time to see them on the field. Finally, Dustin, one other news item, and folks may not look at this as a factor of what goes on the field, but I love this. There was a video came out after the game, Jack Ham announced it, which was very cool that they did this. Drew Hartlob, who's been a walk-on, received a scholarship. And for those kids who are walk-on players, I know they've been doing these videos now for several years. I got to be honest with you. It never gets old for me when you see that.
They never will get old, nor should they get old. If you're you know, too cynical to appreciate that, I don't really need to spend a lot of time with you. But you know, it's such a powerful moment, and there is some showmanship to it, and there is, you know, some self promotion when it comes to, you know, program and coaching staffs and all that. But these are kids who come in and they're guaranteed nothing. They don't get any financial support. They come in, they work for it, and when that work pays off, and you can kind of feel, you know, the symbolic nature of earning a scholarship, and also kind of imagine how much it might help the kid or help his family. Like, I love those moments. And for Jack Ham to do it, I thought was a really cool thing after the game. Drew Hartlob, by the way, was in the transfer portal a couple weeks ago, it seems.
But again, like you said, it's just such a good thing. It reminds you that not everything is big time college football. It's almost NFL. It's almost professional football. This kind of is a reminder, the rest of those guys, those walk-on players, this is the old style. So that's a very good positive note to finish this up, Dustin. That is it for this edition of our show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.